Welcome to Star of Wonder. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Joel, and I'm the pastor here at 514 Church. And if you're like me, then something happened in your life at some point when you saw or read these words for the first time a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And I saw those words on a screen again recently, and for me, I grew up and I loved Star Wars, and we're here tonight, we're celebrating the gift of Jesus, and we are talking about this star of wonder that apparently led some men through a desert to find Jesus Christ born and laying in a manger. And the stars orchestrated that. God used the stars. And there's something about stars that make me wonder. And even that movie, Star Wars, the idea of the cosmic opera battle in just way up in the sky and in a different universe. And there's something about it that captivates your imagination. And as a child, stars always made me wonder, and that movie made me wonder, and I got to go see the last one, and it just the whole thing comes to fruition. It's kind of ironic that this is called Star of Wonder, and Star Wars just ended after, my goodness, over 40 years, man. That's crazy. It shows you the power of stars, and there's something about stars that really gets me. I remember as a kid looking up in the night sky, I vividly remember one of these Christmas Eves where I looked up in the night sky at a perfectly star-filled night sky, and I remember just kind of pushing through it, you know, like wanting it to talk to me, like believing that there was more. I remember a moment when I actually was just like listening for Santa's sleigh as I was looking at the stars, and it got so quiet that I thought I heard him, and I remember that moment. And there's so much about stars, and when you think about how big the universe is, and we don't know where it ends, and supernovas, and you know these movies that come out that talk about light in years and light years and space-time continuums and all this stuff, it kind of turns your imagination inside out. How could it be that big with the supernova and the black hole? And how could it be that way? How could it be like that? And then when you think about the story, it makes you ask, what does that have to do with me? So if God did all that, if God made all of that, if he's the author and the creator of the heavenly bodies, of the stars, then what does he have for me? And stars make me go there. You know, why would a God who made all that and has that type of capability care about me? How does this all play into my life? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever wonder about the stars? Do you ever look up there and go, what is going on? And do you ever wonder, you know, when you think about this particular story, a star leading some people to find Jesus? Do you ever just wonder, like, okay, that's awesome that you did that. Like, wow, like, that's powerful. And that type of phenomenon, I mean, you know, that would have probably a similar impact. God, if you showed up with some type of star that led me to, like, your plan or to put faith in you, I'd probably follow that because it's a star. I mean, there's something about it. But God, honestly, like, do you just have something for me? Like you used a star back then to show them where Jesus was. Like, what about me? Like, how are you going to lead me? What's going to bring me to you? What's going to get me there? Maybe you feel like God's not talking to you. Maybe you go through life and you wonder, like, well, it's Christmas. It's the Christmas time of year, and it's supposed to be wonderful, but I'm not feeling very wonderful. And, you know, if God is really alive and real and he cares, then why wouldn't he move in my life? You know, okay, you used a star, but you don't have to use a star, God. Like, I just, as a whisper, or like, say something, or like, do something in my life or a circumstance, and maybe you've been there. And what I want to do is I just want to encourage you tonight. I just want to encourage you that God has a plan. That God is up to something. That he's the same God. He's the same every single day, every single minute. And that he cares about you. And as we all go to Easton or go down the basement and you know, as we did a month or so ago, we started decorating, we all come to a place, at least in our peripheral vision, at the very least, we all look at this picture. We all look at a version of this, the nativity scene. And in it, it kind of draws us right in to the wonder of the birth of Jesus, just the majesty, just the total unbelievable notion that God became man and dwelt among us and lived with us, and wow, and he did it in this humble fashion in a place that was for animals with parents that really were just completely taken off guard by God's plan, and in a different town, and after traveling, you know, 70 miles to Bethlehem and ending up at a place like a barn. And then every one of these nativity scenes, it gives us different versions, but we often see these kings, these magi, these three wise men. And we know the story. A star led them there. And I want to look into that because I want to show you how this picture right here represents a plan that God had. And it represents a plan that God has. Let's look at this really quick. In Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the story of the birth of Christ according to Matthew. It was one of the eyewitness followers, disciples of Jesus. It says this in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is this one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, that's what it says. And then they go and they find and they leave, and it says they see the star and they're overjoyed, and the star actually points right to where Jesus is, and then they worship him. But, you know, if you read that, it still leaves some mystery. It says what happened, but it doesn't really give me why. Why did they follow the star? Like, why did they actually make this journey? What actually happened? Why did they get there? Hey, we were in the east, and we saw a star, and we want to find the King of the Jews. How do they know about a King of the Jews? What do you mean, the King of the Jews? So when we look closer at the story, I mean, we have to ask the question, like, why did they follow a star? And when we understand that the scripture says they're from the east, and in this time period when things were written, something being from the east or someone being from the east meant probably Babylon. And so to just give you an idea, these men followed a star that they saw in the sky over 725 miles away. And they traveled. They saw a star, and something about that star provoked them, and they loaded up camels and horses, and they traveled for weeks to get to this spot right here that we're reading about. Why? One of the things that I have the privilege of doing is continuing to look at the layers and the beauty of the Christmas story. The incarnation, the birth of Jesus, what it means, what led up to it, what's happening in kind of the historical narrative and all the different pieces as they flow together. And a couple of years ago, I read something that really answers the question, why did they follow a star? And I want to share it with you. And I just want you to see it. I just want you to be encouraged that God is doing something so amazing right here in this passage that is worth talking about and worth letting our hearts kind of lean in on and learn. And as we learn about the star of wonder and what what actually caused these men to follow it. The story kind of starts like this. We know that the nation of Israel, about 500 years before the birth of Christ, that they went through something very horrible as a people group, as a nation, called an exile. If you don't know what an exile is, it's a horrible thing. It's something that people actually just, you know, their nations were destroyed. And the Babylonians came into Jerusalem, and they fought with the Israelites, and they defeated them. And during that time, instead of just destroying them, they would take a whole group of them, the leadership of Israel and tons of the citizens, and they would take them all the way into their civilization and try to indoctrinate them into their culture to try to get rid of the other nation. And so the Bible tells us that this happened to the nation of Israel. And so there's this whole section of their history of the people of Israel being away from the home that God had promised them. And so it's this very dark, awful time. And what happens is the scriptures in the Old Testament show us pictures of how God continued to meet the people and care for the people while they were in exile in Babylon. And one of the specific ways that he did it was by using leaders that were from Israel who would rise up in Babylonian captivity and actually continue to communicate that God was with them through their different experiences. One of the people that we know God used in this way is a guy named Daniel. If you ever heard of Daniel in the lion's den, raise your hand. You ever heard that story? Daniel in the lion's den, right? That is a story of the Israelite people being in Babylonian captivity and Daniel getting thrown into a lion's den and not getting eaten, and essentially a message to the people of Israel in that captivity, like, look, God is still with you. And so God used Daniel to do all kinds of amazing things for these people when they were in this dark period of their history. One of the things that he did is he gave Daniel this amazing ability to interpret dreams. And he interpreted some dreams, and he had such an impact on the leadership in Babylon that he elevated into a position of authority and leadership. And in the book of Daniel, which is in the Old Testament, we get some insight into that. It says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48, that he actually becomes the headmaster of the Babylonian school of astrology. Because of his ability to interpret dreams and understand things that were going on in the cosmos, he was elevated to become the principal of this school. And so he starts to teach the leadership in that school about the Hebrew people, about the scriptures, and he starts to teach them different things about God. And God actually uses Daniel a little bit later in his time there in Babylon to teach those people and everyone in Babylon that God is actually going to bring a Messiah or a Christ or a Savior, and he is going to show up in about 500 years, 490 years. And so Daniel eventually, you know, obviously he dies, and actually the nation of Israel gets sent back because Babylon gets overthrown by the Persians, and then they send the Israelites back. And it's believed that after all of that happened, that the Babylonians continued to have this school, and that there were influences from Daniel's leadership. And there's this belief that they had some of the Hebrew texts in the history. And so what I want you to get is this picture of Babylonians that were in this school of astrology pulling out old Hebrew texts and starting to read about what God had to say about the Israelites. And if they did that, then what they would have read is something remarkable. And I believe that if you put it together, you could see there's a reason why 500 years later, these men probably followed what they read and ended up in Bethlehem. Because if they read the Hebrew text because Daniel gave them to them while they were in exile, a couple of them say some remarkable things. One of the Hebrew texts says in Micah 5 that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So they know where. They said it's going to be 500 years. Okay, so they know when, and now they know where. Well, how are we going to find it? It says in Numbers that a star would lead the way to the Messiah. So you can just see them, right? Generations passing down. They write all this stuff down. He said 490 years. It says in Bethlehem, it says that some type of heavenly phenomenon or star is going to lead the way. So whenever that happens, that means we got to go. And all of that is amazing. The when, the where, the how they're going to get there. But all of this doesn't answer the question of why they would still load up their horses and travel 725 miles to go worship this king of the Jews. And I wondered that, and I looked into it more this year, and the why is compelling. They had all this stuff, 490 years, Bethlehem, a star, amazing, it's going to happen. And then if they read in Psalm 72, it doesn't just say that this is going to be the king of the Jews. It says more. It actually says in Psalm 72 that the Messiah was going to be not just the king of the Jews, but the king of the world. The king of all the world. So imagine if you come from a grand history of astrologers studying Hebrew texts that said that 490 years after Daniel, a baby was going to be born in Bethlehem, a star would lead the way, and he wasn't just going to be the king, he was going to be the king of the world. Now you'd saddle up. Look at what this text says that these guys probably read. And probably what they were looking for. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Not just in one spot, not just in Jerusalem. This was going to be the king of all kings. This is amazing. May the desert tribes, people from everywhere bow before him. And his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores do what? Bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings from all over the world bow down to him, and all nations serve him. So now, when we look at this, we see meaning, we see why. You see, we know the story, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were the gifts. You sang a song about that at some point in your life, whether you knew what it was. These kings brought gifts to Jesus. And when we look closer at the text, they didn't just bring a gift of gold and a gift of frankincense and a gift of myrrh. What they actually did was bring categories of those things. Gold. Tons of gold. Carriages of gold. Frankincense, myrrh. All of this stuff they brought to them. Maybe saddlebags full. I don't know, but they brought categories of it. And those gifts were not just any type of gifts. They were the kind of gifts that were associated with a king. You see, gold was known to be like the tool of a king, something he would use to buy and barter and rule. And frankincense was a priestly thing. It was used for worship. And myrrh was actually used for burial. And for kings, there was tons of death and everything associated with their type of lifestyle that was brought to them. But when you think about who Jesus really is, those gifts have a deeper meaning. You're giving now a gift of gold to not just a king, but the King of Kings. The King of all. The King of all creation. You're giving frankincense to the high priest, the one who intercedes between God and man and makes a way for all of us to have a relationship with God. And myrrh represents this God who became a man, died on a cross, experienced excruciating death, and resurrected from the dead. That's the picture of this. Our King of the world. And God put all of that together so that they would worship him. Now, maybe you hear that and you go, that's crazy. That's bizarre that 500 years and different scriptures and 700 miles, all to get these men to worship the King of the world. And that's an amazing story. And part of the story is to just make sure that everyone looking in knows this is the King of the world. But it's not just so that you'll know that it's the King of the world. This is a picture of what God is doing in every life. God is actually working in every person's life to get them to this same spot. You see, God has a plan for every person to find Jesus. And he may not be using Babylonian exile or stars in the sky, but he's using something in your life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, like my job is to tell you that if you're here, if you're watching online, God is using this moment right now to lead you to Jesus. You can look at your history, and there are circumstances and things that took place to all get you right here. He wants every single person to worship Jesus. He wants all of us to bring every gift we have, to lay it down at the feet of Jesus and to worship him. That's what he's doing. And so for some of us tonight, this is your star. This is your phenomenon. God wants you to know that Jesus is King, and he wants you to wander into the wonder. If you were asked that question, I do wish God would talk to me. I do wish he would give me a sign. I do wish he would give me a star. Then here it is. He's working. Wander into the wonder. You know, I am here tonight because when I was 12 years old, a certain set of circumstances took me into a church when I was 12. And the pastor stood up and said, God is speaking to somebody. And he said, if you want to share, go ahead and stand up. So we're going to have people do that right now. Just kidding. We're not going to have you do that. But he said that. And I was sitting in the back, and I stood up as a 12-year-old, and I said, God has called me to be a preacher. When I was 12, when I think about my life and all the things, my family and my dad and the person that introduced him to Jesus and where we lived and my school and my friends and just all of it, I can just see God's plan to get me to surrender my will to Jesus. And that is what God is doing for every single one of us. God is not willing that any should be separated from him. He's not wanting brokenness. He has a plan, and his plan is perfect, and it's working right now. And God is after you. The whole purpose of Jesus coming to this earth is because he wanted to be able to, with human words, words that you could understand, he wanted to be able to tell you, I love you. And if you want to know who God is, look at me. I'm God. I'm Jesus. I'm God in the flesh. I'm humble and meek and lowly and sacrificial and loving and gracious and joy-filled and peace-filled. And we can actually know what God is like by looking at the person of Jesus. And then that God looks at all of us and says, and I love you. I've orchestrated all this for you. I came down here. I did the star thing. I speak through preachers and donkeys and parents and teachers, and I do it all. I want people to know me. So I just want you to take a minute and wander in. If you were looking for a sign, are you willing to wander? If you're asking for God, what if he's talking to you right now? What if he's moving in your heart? If you grew up in the church and you're like, yeah, I did that. I embraced Jesus, I did that. Then I just want to encourage you that if something's missing, I want you to consider this story. How did these men find Jesus? They followed what? Scripture. And I'm here to tell you that if you get into the scripture, it's always going to lead you to the person of Jesus. And it's always going to ignite something new in you. And sometimes we just have to get back to the scripture and let it be our guide to lead the way to Jesus. So in January at 514 Church, we're starting a series about identity based out of the book of Ephesians. Who God really says we are, because so many of us don't believe what the Bible says about us is true, and we see ourselves the way the world sees us, the way the lies of the world, whatever it is, we experience so much distance between the goodness of God and the harsh realities of this world. And part of that is starting to actually understand who we really are in Christ. And the book of Ephesians teaches that. We're going to be going through that book in our small groups. So it's a time, January, to wander into God's word. You know, are you seeking him? If you're here, you probably are. And I just want to encourage you that if you seek Jesus, you will find him. And with him, you'll find everything else. C.S. Lewis said, if you seek Jesus, you will find him. And in him, you will find everything else. Like, some of us are just looking for life in the wrong places. The scriptures teach us, and the resurrection of Jesus shows us, that he is the life. He's everything you ever wanted. He's everything you ever thought you could want. And so you're supposed to follow him, and in following him, experience life, the life that God designed for you to experience, starting now and forever. I want to tell you about Bryce Mitchell. Bryce Mitchell is a friend of mine, and I've got to know him pretty well over the past 5 years, and I'll tell you why. But Bryce Mitchell is someone who was influenced heavily by Travis and Christy, the video that we all watched. He actually was discipled by them. And so I asked Bryce, like, could you kind of tell me a little bit about that story? Could you tell me how Travis and Christy and what they did in your life led you to where you are in your life now? What did God do? And he sent me a text. He said this: in a nutshell, my friend brought me to church when I was depressed and suicidal. I accepted Christ for the first time I came, and then Crew helped me figure out how to really take steps in my faith and what living a life like Christ looks like. I got discipled by Travis. I went on a summer mission trip with Travis and Christy, and it was there I felt called to vocational ministry and started serving with students. So this guy comes to church. He hears the message of Jesus. He wanders into that. He goes back to his college campus. Travis and Christy are there discipling, and this person gives their life to Jesus, and after giving their life to Jesus, feels another level of engagement from God, to where he actually is a student director, and he's actually our student director. Bryce Mitchell became the student director of 514 Church. He now oversees hundreds of our students. He's getting ready to take a bunch of high school kids on a retreat to teach them all about who God says they really are. I mean, all because God had a plan. God had an actual plan. He orchestrated 514 Church, and he orchestrated Travis and Christy, and they were the star. They were the thing that God used to lead Bryce to follow Jesus. And Bryce is fully following Jesus. I mean, check out his Instagram. I mean, this dude is just working it. Single, ready to mingle, all that. Loves students, does an amazing job. And God is not, I tell the story about me, and I'm a pastor, and Bryce, and God is not calling every person into full-time ministry. God is calling every person into a full relationship with him. He wants your whole heart. He wants you to know him. And he wants you to do whatever it is that you do, and he wants you to do it for the glory of God. And he wants you to surrender everything you are to worship him. And that's what Christmas is all about. Him orchestrating over 500 years of time, a star of wonder that would lead people to worship him. Jesus Christ has done something in your life to get you here to worship him. That's what he's doing. So I want to give you, if you're new to faith or church, I want to give you an opportunity to wander into a relationship with God, to actually embrace Jesus as Savior. I want to give you that opportunity tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to bow down and worship him, to give him your soul, to give him your life, to bring all you have before him. He has given anyone who believes in him the right to become children of God. Any person who believes in Jesus becomes a child of God. And so I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to lead a section of that prayer for those of you that want to embrace Jesus for the first time. Let's take a minute and pray. God, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you for the star of wonder that led these wise men. Father, I pray if there's anybody in here right now and you're speaking to them and they want to follow you and give their life to you right now for the first time, I pray they would just say this to you just in their heart. Just say, God, thank you for bringing me to this place. Thank you for this night. I want to make you my king. I want to worship you. I want to surrender to you. I want to follow you. You are now going to be my king. and I want to live the life that you have for me. Thank you for your patience. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for your promise. I'm here tonight because you brought me here, and I am ready to spend my life worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody actually prayed that prayer or just wants to talk about it, you can fill out the connection card that's underneath your seat, and we would love to talk with you. We're going to pass the buckets for giving right now, and as they go through, and you have an opportunity to continue to be generous, I just want to remind you that when you give to 514 Church, you are giving to God's plan to reach people. You're giving to Travis and Christy. You're giving to the Star of Wonder, the local church that is the light of the world, that exists to see people like Bryce, who are going through horrible times, find Jesus and find the life that God has for them, who exists to encourage people like Travis and Christy to go on college campuses, some of the darkest places in America, and share the light of Jesus. When you give, you're giving to that. You are becoming a part of the Star of Wonder. So thank you for doing that. In a minute, we're going to all stand up and sing one more song together before we leave. I hope that the birth of Jesus feels special, that it feels like a, like whatever it is that feeling is, you know, like the Christmas lights or whatever kind of makes your heart come alive. I hope that the birth of Christ, it continues to grow and take up that space inside your heart. I'm really marked right now by this moment, because this moment not only marks the end of our Christmas services for 2019, it marks the end of all Christmas services in this building. And it's been 10. We've done this 10 times. 10 times we've gathered, 10 times we've worshiped the birth of Christ together. And God has amazing things in store. Thank you for being here. I hope that through this time, your soul feels its worth. Your soul senses how much God actually loves you, that everything else just fades away, and that the truth of God invades your heart and changes everything about your life. It's been an amazing couple of days. Thank you for being here with us, and we hope to see you all in 2020. We love you guys. Merry Christmas.